Welcome to Directions of the News for Tuesday, August 7, 2007. This is Joe Francica of Directions Media, and I'm joined by my colleague Adina Schutzberg, Executive Editor. Today we're going to examine employment in the geospatial profession and look at some of the numbers provided by ERISA's annual salary survey. But first, a word from our sponsor.
This podcast is brought to you by ESRI. With ArcGIS Image Server, you can maximize the value of your imagery by processing and distributing it on the fly, enterprise-wide. Learn more about ArcGIS Image Server at www.esri.com/directionsmag.
Last week, the Urban and Regional Information Systems Association, ERISA, published their annual survey of salaries and employment. And I wanted to start by sharing some of the important statistics from that report. On average, it said that of the survey respondents, they earned about $60,000 in 2006, which represented an increase of 13.8% over the 2003 average of $52,750. Respondents were employed mostly by county governments and enjoyed the most significant average salary increase of about 33%, again, over that 2003 average. Certified GIS professionals earn, on average, $9,000 more compared to those that were not certified. And again, the comparison there is about $66,300 versus $57,600. So this is quite an interesting report. Most of the survey respondents were employed by some level of government. What I'd like to do is start by maybe digging a little bit deeper. Adina, I think you had looked into this a little bit further and maybe can go beyond some of the things that are provided in ERISA's press release.
Before I jump into that, this actually isn't an annual survey. It's sort of an occasional survey. So the last one was, in fact, in 2003. Before we go on, we should just frame this correctly. 2,400 people responded. 85% have bachelor's degrees. Three quarters indicated that a bachelor's degree is required for their position. And now on to the interesting extra information I found, and that has to do with those who responded who were certified GIS professionals, that is GISPs. And it turns out a great deal of information about the GIS professionals, and in fact those who identify themselves as non-GIS professionals, is available on the GISCI website. It's a 45-page PDF with all kinds of detailed statistics. We'll have the link to that in the show notes, and we can sort of dig much deeper than what's in this press release. The ERISA report is available on CD for purchase, but the information on the GISCI website will certainly give you some insight into what kinds of questions they asked and what's available. To start with, let's play quiz. Of the GISPs, Joe, there were 560 of them who responded. What percentage do you think had changed jobs in the last 3 years?
I'm going to say a low percentage. I would say maybe in the 15 to 20% range.
Actually, that's a little low. It's actually just about 30%. And I found this part very interesting, too. The most common change was from a private position to another private position. The second most common change was from a public to a public position. And the third most popular was from a private to a public position.
Now, I would have thought the opposite. I would have thought that if there was this demand, and some of this survey is indicating that there's a higher level of demand for geospatial professionals, that we might have seen a move out of the government sector and into the private sector.
That was going to be my hunch, too. So I was surprised at those numbers, that people seem to stay within the realm that they're already in. Perhaps that's just because there are more plentiful contacts because of the people they interact with. But it's also interesting that that third one, that the moves between are from private to public and not the other way around. More good news from the GISPs. 63% saw an increase in the size of the GIS department. So that's another good indicator, I think, of demand. Here's another interesting one. ERISA, I think, noted this in the press release. They asked what pieces of GIS software the individuals needed to be proficient in to do their jobs. And as ERISA pointed out in the press release, the top chunk of that is full of ESRI products. What do you think the next non-ESRI product is on that list as you move from top to bottom?
Well, that's another good question. So given that a lot of these were government respondents and that the majority of the people majority of those organizations primarily use ESRI technology, I'd still have to go with something. How about in the CAD level? How about AutoCAD?
Perfect. Yes.
How about that? Okay.
Yeah. 20% of respondents said that they need to know how to use AutoCAD. And then other GIS packages fell out in percentages far lower than 20%, in the single digits for many of the ones we hear of all the time, like GeoMedia and so forth. One interesting number popped out at me just because of my background with ESRI. A full 10% of respondents said that they needed to be proficient in PC ArcInfo.
Oh, really?
Yes.
So still hanging around after all these years.
I have to believe that there's a package of it sitting in a corner on a desktop machine, and it does something that they need it to do.
Well, you know, some of these are not exactly staggering statistics. I mean, if there are a majority of the people that are employed in public entities, certainly ESRI has the highest percentage of market share in that community.
Absolutely.
Yeah, and how many have to be proficient in a certain piece of software? Certainly it would have to be ESRI technology. But coming out of that world in the public sector, a lot of the data capture was originally done in AutoCAD. So none of these are exactly staggeringly different than what you might expect.
No, I think they're confirming what has been the case for some time, really.
Yeah, so when I looked at this report, I thought, okay, well, if the profession is growing, and I happened to look at a link from the Bureau of Labor Statistics where over the next 7 to 10 years, there's going to be over 500,000 jobs necessary to fulfill the need out there for geospatial professionals. So, you know, with all of the hype in the consumer community and then the web portals, you know, is this an awareness, is there an awareness factor going on? Should we see other types of sectors affected by the need for geospatial professionals?
We should, and I think it's very important to point out that those kinds of changes wouldn't show up in this survey.
Right, because this is just done by ERISA.
Exactly, and I'm not clear as to how they got their participants. I don't think that was noted in the press release. So it probably was not the broad population of people that use some of these new tools in their work or in their more casual uses. So that would be a different sort of study. That's a good point.
Yeah, and certainly you could expect that ERISA probably drew from a lot of their membership.
True, and I think it's fair to say that those who are actively interested might be much more likely to respond than those who weren't active and perhaps were less happy in their jobs and so forth. And those might have been the people with lower salaries who are less likely to be GISPs and so forth.
The one thing, you know, I think we should point out, you know, the salary, the average salary is pretty good. They mentioned that we didn't mention. Consultants exhibited a very large growth in their salary, somewhere up in the $90,000 range. I mean, these are pretty good salaries for people in the geospatial profession. Given both the increase, the difference in the salary for certified professionals, given the need that we see from the Bureau of Labor Statistics, maybe you can comment on whether there is the availability of training by schools and universities to supply the need, since you are, I know, indirectly involved with some of these programs.
I think we're seeing more and more of it all the time. I'm seeing more ads as I do my work for certificate programs, be they at, you know, on campus at universities. There are more and more now available on the web. Certainly the Department of Labor has funded a whole bunch of initiatives, some through the high school, college, junior college space, others at the college space, trying to get underserved populations into GIS because there is that demand. For full disclosure, I'm in the process of becoming a part of the Penn State faculty for its master's in GIS, which is serving a different part of the population. That's the one that's already got the bachelor's, already got the work experience, and now is looking for that advanced degree, a master's degree, to move ahead in geospatial.
And we also know that certain organizations like the National Geospatial Intelligence Agency has a professional development program to fill a need. They've mentioned that their professional development is very important to them, and they're seeing a lack of trained professionals. I heard this when I was in India earlier in the year, that the amount of geospatial professionals there is not keeping up with the amount of growth that they need to sustain some of their project work. So we're actually seeing, I think we're going to see a real demand. I think we'll see the salaries continue to grow. So it's clear that there's a demand for this type of profession. I have yet to see the growth, speaking from a business perspective, in the business schools. I don't think that this technology is introduced. There are very few business schools that even, talk about doing this type, any type of geospatial analysis. And particularly, this is important for marketing people.
Let me pull these out. The respondents total had an average of almost 14 years of experience, of professional experience, almost 10 of which were as GIS professionals. Okay, so these are not young people. In fact, the average age of respondents, well, what do you think the average age of respondents was?
Well, this is one number that I did happen to see. So it was around 39 years of age.
Right, and those are not people who are just out of school. Those are not people who are, in their first job. Those are folks, very close to my age. We've been doing this for a while.
Well, we have an aging population here of geospatial professionals, and I believe we pointed this out earlier, that we've missed the generation. We've actually skipped the generation of educating geospatial professionals. And we need to do a better job of not only educating them for the technology, but geography awareness.
And literacy, yes.
Yeah, it's terrible the way that kids are not being trained basic geography.
Absolutely true. I did want to go back to, I've got two more quiz questions for you. And again, these come out of the statistics for the GISP group. What is the most widely needed to be proficient in a database or spreadsheet package? And again, remember, we're talking mostly about people who are working in government, as you pointed out.
Sounds pretty generic. I'm going to have to say Excel.
Excel was actually number two. Access was on top. And interestingly, Oracle, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, was number six at almost 29%. Above that was SQL Server at just over 50%. And as we've noted multiple times, SQL Server is widely used in geospatial, even though it does not yet have support for geospatial.
Okay, you had one more quiz for me.
This one's sort of interesting because the responses don't necessarily match up with the question, as I understand it. It has to do with which programming languages these folks are using. Again, these are the GISPs.
That's hard. So maybe something in the ARC family? Do they consider like an ARC macro language proficient?
Yes. AML is still in there. It's got 32%. It's actually number three. Up on top is still Visual Basic. And interestingly, ESRI's preferred scripting language right now is Python, and that's number four. The most interesting thing for me is number two, which is HTML.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Which is, in fact, a coding language. Avenue's still on the list, too. It's down at number six. And the final statistic I want to share, and I will not quiz you on this one, the percentage of GISPs, male to female, 73% male, 27% female. So in the same way that we've got to get young people involved in geospatial, I think we've still got to make that push in getting more women involved.
Well, that's all the time we have for today. We'd certainly like to hear your comments about this podcast. We think that the salary survey is one of the more interesting ones that we've come across, and we hope that you'll respond if you'll write to us at editors@directionsmag.com. Our sponsor, ESRI, would like to remind you that the Urban and Regional Information Systems Association Conference will be held in Washington, D.C. from August 20th to the 23rd. Please visit the ESRI booth to learn more about ESRI solutions for urban and regional planners. For more information, visit www.esri.com/directionsmag. Thanks again for joining us today on another Directions Media podcast, and be sure to tell a friend.